News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. We have a team of experienced broadcast experts who are dedicated to keeping you informed about the latest weather conditions and forecasts. We'll provide you with up-to-the-minute updates on any developing storms, as well as safety tips and information on how to prepare for a hurricane. So for the latest hurricane coverage, stay tuned to News Radio Pensacola on AM 1620, 92.3, 95.3, and on HD Radio at 98.7. We'll keep you safe.
Everybody jump, 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 jump.
I said a hip hop, the hibbit of a hip, hip hop, you don't stop.
Rap, 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 wrap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
Yes, it's a wrap. It's the time of the week when we hang out with a couple of friends here in the studio and just talk through the week. And unfortunately for us this week, nothing happened. So there's I don't know what we're going to talk about all this time. I've got Travis Peterson with me and Anna Higgins. You know what? I don't know. Do you guys, either of you have titles you want me to use of any kind? I normally ask before the show and I failed. Just
Tara's husband.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Tara's husband and Anna.
Capital Queen.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, all right. You know, she's one of those L people. She's a lobbyist, you know, and an analyst and an advisor and, you know, all those kind of things. And frankly, one of the sharpest political minds that I know. But let's start with this. So this week, the school board, in case you hadn't heard, had some meetings and they got heavily scolded by the state board of education, perhaps appropriately. And then they got told, fix this or else we're going to take your pay away for a year. So they came back home and they actually did have a vote to approve the Charter Schools USA for, you know, it's like a 30-year contract, but we'll see how it performs. So they avoided getting their pay taken away. Nobody remembers that part of the story. They actually ended the Warrenton Middle School stuff because what happened then after is Paul Fetsko motioned to fire or terminate the contract or, you know, not renew the contract, whatever you're going to call it. Tim Smith. He got joined by two other board members who agreed with him, and then Tim Smith gave a long, passionate, defiant attack back at Paul Fetsko and Kevin Adams, and then had a very, very, very uncomfortable stage exit, stage right. The door was locked, stage left through the backs of the chairs of all. It was, and then he's still at work until the 31st, despite all of this. Okay, so where to start? Travis, thoughts?
So the school board took away the superintendent's pay.
Oh, fair. Yeah. Although they're awarding it to the interim or whatever, but yeah.
Yeah, no, listen, I think this is a complete disaster. You know, the ballot measure was close, but the guy had 2.5 years, one of which was COVID. He was qualified. Who's going to come here now?
I do worry about...
Like, we are, you know, Disney's left. Disney chose not to come here because of politics. Who's going to come here because of our school board's politics?
I mean, I see this in the city of Milton. They're hiring a new city manager, and other than employees who are already in place, who wants that job? Have you watched them? You know, who wants a Escambia County Commission? Of course, nobody wants that job because who wants that job? Who would want to work with these people? And now I see that with the school board. Only somebody who's not watched these meetings, it seems like to me, would want to have this job. Anna?
Right. I have had a lot of friends say, hey, why don't you run for this, that, or the other locally? And I say, I'd probably rather get hit by a bus
right
at this point. But, you know.
I feel like that's a reality show in the works, by the way. Public office or bus strike?
You know? That's a hard call. But also, you've got this lawsuit against this Escambia County School District from Random House Publishing. So we've got a lot going on. But, you know, the local, you know, and I do feel for them, you know, commissioners, city council people, school board members. I do feel for them because they've kind of inherited a mess. But I'm going to agree with you, Travis, on that. That's just who would want to come here. This is one reason I have a kid that does not, you know, attend a public school system.
You know, I will say this. I always liked Tim Smith. I think he's a very honorable, decent guy. He's very thoughtful. I think from all the reports, he's great with the teaching side of things. You know, the leadership side, the, you know, public person who represents the school district side, that was never his strength. I certainly hope for the best for him, but other people are saying this was a long time coming, this is long overdue. They have very vehement opinions against him. I just didn't, the way it was done, you know, this kind of add-on item at the last minute, which maybe wasn't a surprise given that he was up for review, but, you know, that's what bothered me about it. And again, you know, what message does this send? You know, right at the end of school, you're in total chaos and turmoil in the school system. This is, I'm sure, the only thing that the teachers and the principals are talking about, and unfortunately the kids are hearing this. And you know, honestly, I heard, Mike Kohler, who's the District 2 representative, his wife teaches at Warrington Middle. And I heard him make the comment the other day, I thought it was a very on point. He said, how awful must it be if you're a student at Warrington Middle and you watch the news or you listen to the radio or you pick up the paper and all you see is how screwed up your school is and how they might close the school and all. How do you go to school with a positive attitude? That's fair, right? That's a fair criticism.
My wife taught at Spencer Bibbs in the early 90s when they started the A-plus plan. Mm. And those kids were being told by the governor that you're an F school. These kids can't learn. These teachers are terrible. It's not that's the unintended consequence of these very public debates. And I think it is a tragedy. I mean, we have parts of our community and schools that really need help and shouldn't be sort of tossed around. I also think, you know, when you're a guy like Tim Smith, and interestingly enough, it's been reported that the person they want to replace him hasn't accepted the job yet. So that might be a bit of a red flag here, school board. Like, the person that you've been trying to get in there, at least as of the other day, one of the school board members said he hadn't taken the job yet. So, who's going to run the ship?
And I will say this, you know, Kevin Adams has been opposed vehemently to having the appointed superintendent. And so, is his motive here just because he wants to change out somebody else for Tim Smith? Or is his motive like, I want to blow this thing up so we can go back to an elected superintendent? And I don't know.
I think that's a great point. And you're right. These unintended consequences are difficult to deal with. And I agree with you, Andrew. This was probably not done the way it should have been done. And that's unfortunate because not only is this local community watching, the state's watching.
Absolutely.
As well.
And they are clear. I mean, like, I feel like if they could have, you know, gotten out the paddle, you know, with Superintendent Smith and Chair Fatsko, they would have. You know, unfortunately, it was a Zoom call, so that option wasn't available to them. We're talking to Travis Peterson and Anna Higgins here in studio with me. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Thanks for painting the picture, though. That's so great. Sorry, Dr. Smith. Highway 90 in Woodbine showing an accident, but not showing a roadblock this morning. Aurora and 59th Avenue, that's just off 57th, showing an accident also with no roadblock. Riola Place at 98 showing an accident with no roadblock, and it looks like that's all. Use caution, of course, wherever you are. Traffic tips 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
You know, somebody texts in here, it's a really interesting point, says, I wish that we, the school district staff, could vote on who gets the job rather than appointed or elected. We know the needs of the school district. We work in it every day. We know better than everyone. So elected officials need to have a say. I mean, that's how the people, you know, have their influence over a publicly operated system. But that's not a terrible idea. You know, like, the people who work the front lines, they know who's good and bad, you know. Maybe they don't, I don't know. Anyways, it's an interesting thought. We have had so much this week. Let's talk about Governor DeSantis. And just for clarification, I would say that Anna is a big fan, and Travis is not.
Fair.
Which is, listen, you know what? I tell you guys that I have friends on both sides of the aisle, and I love to hang out with everybody. This is a good example of it. These are both people I dearly love and appreciate their opinions. They will disagree with each other vehemently and me, and that's fine. That's what I appreciate. So let's start with the pro, Anna. Which one do you want to start with? The ban on transgender surgeries and therapies, the ending of DEI, it's been everything this week.
There's been a lot.
Yeah, the abortion law got signed into effect. That won't go into place yet, but the fight with Trump. Let's start with the LGBT stuff, or the transgender stuff.
Okay.
I really struggle with this because I have parental rights on the one hand, and I want to be empathetic, mm-hmm. but the more I thought about it, the more convinced I was that this is the right move when it comes to minors.
Absolutely. As a minor, you can't get a tattoo without your parents' permission. You can't. There's a lot of things you can't do as a minor. However, irreversible, whatever you want to call them, hormone blockers or all these things people are saying are reversible, are not. In fact, the science is not on the side of the fact that they are reversible. And surgeries before you even have, you know, in a developed brain as a child. A lot of people will go so far as to say it's child abuse. I will keep that comment to myself. I'm not going to go that far, but I am going to say that absolutely we protect children in this state from other types of harm. And this, I believe, is at least to some extent an irreversible potential harm done to a child underage who is not capable of consent for this type of significant irreversible procedure.
And Travis, I don't actually know where you are on this issue. I know a lot of people who are liberal in general but disagree with this particular issue. So I don't know. Are you think a banning of it for minors is the right approach, or do you think that's a mistake? What do you think?
You know, I really struggled with this one. No surprise, my wife's actually had a double mastectomy. I know what it does. It's very painful. I'm not sure I can conceive of a situation where I would be comfortable with my daughter doing that voluntarily as a teenager, you know, or as a minor. I just don't, and you and I have chatted about this, despite the struggles that these kids are going through.
Absolutely,
obviously,
yeah.
You know, and sort of the hormone blockers and, you know, I think there's a lot of science that still needs to be determined as to what's reversible, what's not reversible. I think this comes down a lot to kind of what world are we creating where, you know, we're making, I don't want the government making laws for me as a parent.
Agreed.
Right. What book my child reads or doesn't read. And now, you know, irreversible surgeries. Yeah, my kid can't get it. My kid wants to get an earring. Well, you know what? He can't do that, or you know, or she can't do that without their parents' permission. So, there are some parental rights that need to be enforced. The other thing I always wonder about some of these policies is like, how often is this happening that the entire state government has to bring to bear its yeah. you know full power to sort of outlaw this? I mean, I don't know the answer. How many instances are there of these surgeries? How many doctors are willing to do these surgeries on 12, 13, 14-year-old kids?
Right.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, for me, what was helpful to me in kind of pushing me, and I have been pushed on this issue since I started thinking about it. One is that the countries that were kind of ahead of us on the curve,
exactly.
You know, that, you know, I remember when I was a kid, you'd hear about like, you know, Sweden, you know, was the place where you'd go to get your sexual change, your transsexual surgery or whatever, sex change operations. And those countries are now going the other way on this. So they're ahead of the curve on us. They've done the experiment and they're going the other way. I find that, you know, persuasive. And then the other thing is just that when it comes to what we do and don't let kids do, even with parental permission, you know, they can't get married at certain ages. They are not supposed to have sex at certain ages. There's all kinds of things that are much less permanent, or at least in that kind of that same zone than what's being proposed and done to at least some of them. And I say, well, if we won't let them do that because they're minors, then we probably shouldn't let them do this, even with their parents' consent, because they're minors. And so that's kind of where I come down on it. The other one that came in this week was the higher education bill. Massive controversy over this. I'll start with you, Travis. The changes are pretty sweeping. The argument from the governor is, and I agree with him, that we're bringing balance to a system that's been so far to the left for so long. This is what's needed. Pick whatever part of this bill you want to talk about, whether it's banning DEI, you know, putting in the hiring from the president instead of hiring by the teachers, or any of the other parts of this you want to talk about. What do you think?
You know, I think there's a lot of parallels to the local superintendent. Do we want politicians leading our education system, or do we want education professionals leading our education system? Now, that's going to be an inevitable tension. And I'm sure there's some give and take on both ways. But, you know, the way I look at a lot of the things that came out of this legislative session is what happens in 10 or 20 years when, you know, the folks on my side of the aisle are the supermajority? What happens because demographically that's where the state is going? What sort of crazy stuff are some of my crazy liberal friends going to force on the state that I may not even be comfortable with? So I really struggle with this idea that the state should be that our education system should be used as a political tool. You know, you don't like the college, don't go to that college. You don't like that professor, don't take that class. Again, there's a lot of sort of individual choice and individual freedom, to use DeSantis's favorite word, that's being stripped away from us right now. I want my child to be able to take the classes they want to take for the education that they want to pursue. And if as this state and as our country and as our economy becomes more diverse, Are we going to continue to lose talent that isn't just sort of white conservative folks who, you know, are comfortable coming to schools in Florida?
Yeah, I've said this on the air several times. I don't know for sure where we're going to end up 5 or 10 years from now. It could be that we have a sort of liberal flight that winds up harming the quality of higher education. It could be that we have the right kind of liberals who would come and be welcoming to that open debate environment, and more conservatives, a more balanced approach in 5 or 10 years. And I'm hoping that's the case. Right now, it's an experiment. Anna, what do you think?
I think it's a good point to say, do we want politicians controlling our schools? Well, no, actually, I don't. I think legislators were hesitant to step in here, but I think their hand has been forced, because we also don't want our dollars and state money going to fund any type of program that's going to be discriminatory against any race, creed, religion, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I think that this DEI bill, for example, and you look at the quote unquote book banning bills, a lot of that's been misinterpreted.
Probably on both sides, misunderstanding for sure.
A lot of it is people think, oh, well, the government or the state is now disallowing this group and disallowing that group. No, actually, we're just keeping state funds from going to those interests, those special interests. And I have absolutely no issue with that. And, you know, back in the day, we used to call a lot of this common sense and the golden rule.
Yeah.
Treat others as you would want to be treated, no matter who they are. And, you know, if that happened and we use common sense in what, you know, materials we're giving children and so forth in the schools, we wouldn't have to legislate this.
You know, one of the things that I think has been missing on the whole book question is how many of these books are mandatory textbooks, mm-hmm. as in if my child is in this class, they have to read this, versus how many of them are just in the library? That if my child
Most
checks
them out.
Most of them
are just out. In the library.
Exactly. Right. And at that point, I feel like that's my responsibility as a parent to know what my kid's reading.
I don't think
a librarian or a school district or a politician should say my kid can't check out this book.
I generally agree with that, but at the same time, have you seen some of the books?
Yes. Some of them are books I would not be comfortable with my child reading. But again, the other thing that's missing from the conversation is this book in a high school library.
Agreed.
Middle
Absolutely
school,
agreed.
Right? Because there is a difference.
And weirdly, can I take a second and give the school board some credit? Because what they didn't do well in the first round of book consideration that they did do better the second and third time is they started to think about age nuance in these books. And this is okay for
it
high
matters.
School. And that I absolutely agree. Yeah. So they did that part right. I want to give them credit for that. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And it looks like everything is running smoothly right now. We're not showing any slowdowns. All exits off I-10, I-110 reporting as clear. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
All right. So the political question. You know, I find President Trump at the moment to be attacking DeSantis. He's over the top in the attacks on DeSantis, but from the left. Like his attacks recently when it comes to abortion is, you know, how dare DeSantis sign in a 6-week abortion ban? And even his staffers had to delete their from the right criticisms of DeSantis because that was not aligned with what Trump is saying now. But this is kind of across the board. He's saying the things that the mainstream media folks that he always hates are saying. Who's winning in this conversation? Is Trump winning or is he... I think he starts to look too weak by over-attacking so early when DeSantis isn't even in the race. But we've only got a minute. It's an unfair question. Anna?
Yeah, I think he's losing on that talking point, on the abortion talking point.
With pro-life people.
Yeah, you know, yes. I've been involved in a number of polls in the state of Florida on life issues. And overwhelmingly, people are electing representatives who are pro-life and who they want to pass these bills. And these bills have been passed. The governor signed it. It's the will of the people. So I think Trump attacking on that is making him... putting him in a weaker position.
It's a weird place to be for the GOP primary, for sure.
Yeah,
I'm just popping popcorn and watching the show. I do think what we'll see going into this next election cycle, this is going to be the campaign, the election cycle of unintended consequences.